Second touch. That's what I want to share with you. The second touch. There was an incident. Incident, I call this incident chapter number one. There was an incident because there was a problem. Someone had forgotten to bring bread. And we're reading about it, about this incident that happened, and the people that were upset and that were concerned because someone had forgotten the bread. And I can imagine as they were wondering, blaming, as all good Christian events, they blame each other. And did you forget the bread? You know, you were supposed to bring it. No, I'm not bringing it. He was going to bring it. They're arguing about what happened to the bread. You know, someone had forgotten to. Well, this concern that the disciples had, the question comes out, what are we going to do about the food? And Jesus says, listen, he says, there's this huge crowd. There's 4,000 people. And you need to feed them because they have been outside in the sun all this time. And they need to be looked after. In verse 17, we find that Jesus is rebuking them quite sharply, I thought. And he asked, in the light of that, of this rebuke to them, he asked five questions. And the five questions are like, I'll read them to you. Question number one, the first question he asks is, why are you talking about having no bread? Question number two, do you still not see? Do you still not understand? Number three, are your hearts all hardened? Number four, do you have eyes but can't see and ears but can't hear? And question number five, don't you remember what happened? Don't you remember? That's incident number one, somebody has forgotten the bread. And that brings us to incident chapter two. There was a confrontation with the blind man. And verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus puts his hands on this man because he wanted prayer. And Jesus puts his hand on him and asks him what he can see. And in verse 24, he answers Jesus. He says, I see people. They look like trees walking around. That's what it looked like to him. He said, what do you see? I see trees. And they're walking. Well, they obviously weren't trees, but he thought they looked like trees. And Jesus said, what do you see? What did you look at? And he said, I looked at trees. Oh, that's an interesting story, just if it stopped even right there. But once again, Jesus puts his hand out the second time. We might say the second touch. Once again, Jesus puts his hands out on the man's eyes. And the Bible tells us that he saw everything clearly by the second touch. Second touch brought clarity to his life. The disciples in the boat, and this is a classic for all of us, the disciples in the boat had forgotten who Jesus was and what he could do. Verse 18, don't you remember? Is this so foreign to you that you can't remember what happened, what I did? And it was cloudy for them. And so he draws their attention to his miracles. And I wrote out the statement. I don't know if it's totally the way it was spoken, but I think it was pretty close. He says, here's how it works. He says, you had five loaves, and you fed 5,000 people, and there was 12 baskets full. The second incident, you had seven loaves, fed 4,000 people, and you had seven baskets full. And lastly, you had 12 loaves, fed 9,000 people, and you had 19 baskets full. And I can just see Matthew in his pocket calculator. One loaf is 13 people. One loaf, 19. Yeah, I think there's probably enough. You know, if we scringe a little, it'd be enough. And I love this portion because Jesus is really saying, you want bread? Is that what this is about? You think we have a shortage of bread? That's not our worst problem. We've got not just we not have a bread, but we have a baker in the boat. There's someone in this boat that is going to supply all the bread you'd ever need in a lifetime. And it took a second touch to see who the Lord really was. Who is this? This is unusual. They were saying, I don't think we're going to have enough bread. This is not going to stretch that far. And by the way, I think there's probably lots of Christian gatherings. They were saying, we're a little short here. And you see people running around trying to find all the supplies that they need to feed a large crowd. But Jesus says, I'm here. I'm all that you need. And again, it took the second touch to see who the Lord really is. I think of my own heart, my own life. Over the years of serving Jesus, many times I forgot so quickly about how wonderful he is, that he's the eternal Son of God. And I'm wondering if the Lord can look after us. I'm wondering if he can handle us. I'm wondering if this is going to be, will there be enough? Will there be, I wonder what it'll be like. I forget so amazingly quickly. And my vision of the Lord becomes blurred. I've gone through periods of my life where I believe that Jesus was there, but I think many times I just went on rote. I just went on what I knew, I remember, but it wasn't real. It didn't seem real, and I seemed kind of dull and kind of carnal, and I thought, I wondered if I wasn't a pastor, how would I be? But those times come, right, where you just wonder, you go through the motions, you do the right thing, you're doing the right stuff, but the right stuff's not touching your heart and touching your life. And so we need that touch from Jesus again and again and again. The media, books, the internet were so often shot through with secular thinking that we don't see Jesus, and we don't marvel at him. He doesn't just keep saying, wow, it's so amazing. See, it's not enough to merely know about Christ. You must experience his touch. It's not enough to know. I can tell you a lot of things about Jesus and about the Bible, because I've been trafficking in this stuff for years and years and years and years. And I've got a question, I've got an answer. Is it in my heart? No, it's not in my heart, unfortunately, necessarily so, but I know lots. But you know, that doesn't change many people's life. It must become vibrant and on fire in my heart to be effective. You can know it. You know that nobody in the world is asking things like that. We know lots. We memorize verses and we read copious amounts of scripture, and yet it hasn't changed us so that there's a fire in our heart and that we have something flows out of us. We must experience his touch. And so there's that man in the scripture. Jesus put forth his hand. What do you see now? Well, now I see clearly. And that's to say to all of us here today, the importance that I would, and you would be full of the Lord, full of the Spirit, so that when we speak and when we minister, there's an actual touch comes from. It's not just something you know, but it's something you've experienced. And I thank the Lord for that touch. Many times I've gone forward in a gathering, a conference, or whatever else it was, because they gave an invitation. Is anybody feeling dry? Is anybody feeling like, you know, you're going by rote, but you're doing the right things, but you need to, it's been a long time since you cried. And that's always a question that I like to ask. When's the last time that you cried? I don't mean with sadness, I mean with just overwhelming goodness. You say, oh God, I love you. Now men don't cry as well as women, and that's just the truth. But we do cry. I mean, but what I'm talking about is that touch upon our lives that it just was inevitable, you couldn't stop it. The presence of God was touching your heart. And it was real to you and real to him, and real to all of us. We must experience his touch. Does And so the question, does he need to open my heart even here this morning? Can I walk out of here and say, was it just ho-hum, same old thing? Yeah, I think I heard that before. Or is there something about this that you could say, I went to church and I received a touch. I received the hand of the Lord upon me. Because when we come together, that's really what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be built up in the Spirit, encouraged in our faith, and something, so it's not just some memory we have, but it's a vibrancy, because it was real and true and lovely in every way. And when that happens, you go home and say, how was church? Church was terrific. Why was it terrific? Well, because the Lord touched me. I was right out of it. I was facing a lot of problems, and Jesus came and touched me. So we see Jesus, but many times he's at a distance. And I made some notes. Here's who was in the boat. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Holy One, the Lamb of God, the Lord God Almighty, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Word of Life, Author and Finisher of our faith, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Advocate, the Dayspring, the Great I Am, the Son of God, Shepherd and Bishop of my souls, the Messiah, the Savior, the right cornerstone, Light of the World, Son of Righteousness, Horn of Salvation, Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Light of the World, the Door of the Resurrection, the Life, the Bread of Life, the True Vine, the Good Shepherd. Need I go on? That's who was in the boat. That's everything that I said is true about our Lord. And therefore, are we wondering if there's going to be enough in your life? Is there going to be enough? Who's in the boat? That's what it determines. If that's a true description of who cares about us and gave his life for us, wow, you can trust him for the rest. He will not fail us. What a Lord, what a Savior. How wonderful. I guess we could ask this question. What do you need him to be in your life? I'll read that again. What do you need him to be in your life? What do you need? What supply do you need? What touch do you need? Because I think he's the only one that, if as you yield your heart, say, Lord, I'm coming because I need to come, and I'm running on dry. I mean, I can't keep going on this. I'll have no faith at all by the time this is done if I keep going on the route I'm on now. And so what do we need what do we need him to be in our life? And we often forget who he is. And when he touches and we get back to ourselves, as it were, we find ourselves, that second touch is everything. I'm responsible to respond to the Lord. If I'm dry and dusty and musty and crusty, whatever else can I put in there, if that's me, the Lord will, he'll meet me where I am. But he will not allow me to go on and on a memory. The truth of the reality of the Christian faith is that he's alive, and because he lives, we live also. And Jesus calls us to a vibrancy. Don't fall asleep at the switch. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your Gillette touch. Don't do that. Don't keep doing the right things. But in your heart of hearts, you know that that's not really working for you. But you keep on going. See, we know all the verses. We know all the things that we're supposed to know. People could quiz us on it. We know a lot about our faith, but not the part that touches and changes people. And so I call you this morning. I call myself this morning. Even as I was coming over here for the meeting, I said, Lord, don't let this just be a rundown memory lane. Stir me, quicken me. Revive me, that there will be that you know, I know, we know what it's like, that your heart's alive because God's been touching you. So there might be the first touch, there might be a second touch or a third touch or a fourth. What do you need? That's what there will be. We just come to him and we say, Lord, I'm standing here in the need, in a need of prayer. I need you. I thank you for your presence in my life, but I haven't remembered where I was touched for a long time. Isn't that a kind of a danger? that you, if you can't remember the last time when you said, wow, so beautiful. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, God. So grateful. So looking forward to you working in my life in the days ahead. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. And so we often forget who he is and what he's prepared to do. But all those names, that's him. So surely he can do whatever you need in your life today if you present yourself to him and say, I need a second touch. And I would say to you this morning, come on down here and just stand here in the need of prayer. Just, you don't have to work anything up. Just come, and all you're indicating is, I'm on E. I'm working out of fumes. I'm on memory. But I'm not mesmerized by his love and his care. Yeah, I know what that's like. I have many times been in prayer over my lifetime, and I found myself saying, Lord, there needs to be more than this. If this is it, there must be more. And my soul demands that there would be more. And so we need a second touch. And the Lord is so good. And I'm not talking about working something up. I mean just a freshness that comes so that on a Thanksgiving Sunday in Valley Church, you can say, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Lord touched me. We need the touch. Can't go just on partial things you remember. It has to be something that you say, this is real to me. And I was going to say this, that I've been in moments where I felt the Lord say, I want you to stop now. The reason I want you to stop is because you're talking to a statue. That's how it seems like. That's how the Lord felt. I'm just going through the motions. And I said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me for just going through the motions. So easy. And so I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And said, touch me again so that this thing is real and pulsating. And we forget who he is. We need a second touch. I don't see people clearly either many times. And I must have that altered. You must too. So when we walk with people, I wrote this down. I see people as just a bunch of trees. That's what this fellow said. Instead of eternal beings from whom Christ died. And yeah, that's, I think, we see just people. I'm not moved by their need. I'm not moved by the fact that they're in loss. They're lost. I'm just, ho-hum. The people around me. And I think there's a twofold touch here. And touch number one is that I have received touch so that my spirit is vibrant. The second touch is so that the people around me can feel the reality. That they feel that my care, my concern, and your care, and your concern, that they would be just so open to. That's what we need, that twofold touch. One that way and one that way so that people matter to us. You know, you can say, oh, yeah, souls for Christ. And so it's kind of a dozy, sleepy time. Instead of saying, oh, man, this guy. Carl and I were supposed to meet with somebody last night. And this person needs something real badly. And we're going to get a chance to do that, too. But you can say, first I was thinking, well, yikes, holiday weekend. Oh boy. And then I found myself being convicted. So, no, we'll make ourselves available. Make ourselves available. Why? Because that I don't know all about that person, but I think there's some real needs. And I'm not saying we should do this every weekend, but I'm simply saying is that our attitude towards that person, who we don't know, but he stands in need. And he was hoping we'd be able to meet with him. Time will tell how that's all going to work out. But all I'm simply saying is an attitude towards somebody who's in some trouble. Lord, lay your hand upon me and touch me again so that I might see you clearly and see people in their need as you do. Stir me. Work in me. May I see you. May I see the people around me. I forget who's in the boat with me. This is, you know, Jesus came into my life, and I have never actually recovered from it. The reason why, as you've heard this story many, many times, as I stood, I received this kingdom call. It's in the dark of a campground in southern Saskatchewan, and they gave an altar call, and I was there for a long time in the altar call. Something was happening in my heart. And anyway, I'm alone on this hillside. And as I cried out to God in the dark, and the Lord said, Owen, I want you to, you're going to be, in the days ahead, you're going to be working with people. And because people last forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And you're going to be connected with my word, because my word lives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I just fell over on the ground. I just said, oh, God, what's it all? Because I had never preached a sermon, never done anything like that. It was huge. God says, I want your life to be on fire from beginning to end. And as I just fell down on the ground, I was there for a long time. What was it? It was God preparing me. And I said, you're going to have to touch me. You're going to have to give me something to go the distance. And he did. And I look back at that, and it has to be renewed. And the Lord has often said to me, don't forget what happened. Remember that time when you were, and I spoke to you. And I don't think it was so much a call to the ministry. It was a kingdom call. It was a call to God's purposes and God's plans. And that it wouldn't necessarily be a pulpit. It wouldn't be this or that. It wouldn't be something, you know, we'd even just that. Are you to be available and to tell God you're available and then ask him to keep the light burning, keep the fire burning. Don't let me go out. Don't let me get used to this stuff. I want to taste it. I want a vibrancy in my heart and my life. This is the call. We're not, most of us here are not called to minister, to ministry. We're called to Jesus, and we're called to people. Those two things. We're left to look after people. That's what you're about. We're not about church even. Church is a beautiful, I agree with Carl, beautiful, wonderful thing. There's nothing like it as beautiful. But that's not what the call is. The call is Christ putting his hand upon you. And if people seem a little blurry or greatly blurry, then it's time to say, Lord, touch me. Touch me. And, I know if you're here this morning and you're human, then I know that it's not just today, but there'll be another call down there, another one there, another one there. And your life... your life will make a difference. Val was telling me that we got this call, and this person it must be 30 years since I've heard from them, and they were phoning to say how much they had appreciated whatever measure that I was able to minister to. Like 30 years. It mattered to them. And I'm not drawing attention to myself, but I'm simply saying it's a wonderful thing to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Just available. Just say, God, here I am. And I just say, Lord, light my fire. Let there be a vibrancy. And if you don't have to do anything. You just to yield. And in a couple of moments, I'm going to give an invitation. Not that we'd get cranked up and worked up, and that doesn't last. That doesn't go the distance. But this heartfelt, maybe even for some, you might want to even just kneel. But if that's not necessary either. You could come stand here, stand over here. But in so doing, you're just making yourself available. Say, I don't want to see trees as men as trees walking. I want the real thing. And I want to keep it burning right till Jesus puts his arms around me. Because when he comes and he puts his arm around, we won't have to worry about the rest. That'll all take care of itself. This second touch, I think there's something built into ministry that you have to keep it alive. It's not just going to say you give your heart to Jesus and then you're wondering what. No, it's up to me. On a Thanksgiving, which seems to me that would be a good day just to say, thank you, use me, fire me up. Let people sense when they're near me, let them sense something. How many think that can happen? I believe it happens all the time. They just sense, they don't know what it is. They don't know what that is that they're sensing about you, but they know it's something good. And you have that opportunity to be that person who is available. Imagine that you are available and the Lord God who made heaven and earth and that one that's in the boat that I read about and all those things, imagine that he says, I would like you to be available to my purposes, to all that I am. Oh, it's mind-boggling. Could it ever be that way? Yes, it could be. Just make yourself available. He didn't tell we're supposed to crank it out. There's not anything you're supposed to do. I don't think there is. But I'm simply saying that if you want your life to be a life of excitement and joy and just good things happening, flowing through you, you know, you're going to say to people, so how come God uses that person so much? Because they're available. You and I know them, so we know it's just an ordinary human being who took God seriously. And if they saw trees walking, if that's what they saw, and they, Lord, touch me again, give me a second touch, or a third, or a fourth, whatever it takes to keep this fire burning, because I must not, and you must not, let this thing go out in your heart. It's all about the fire. It's all about the fire. That's why he said, I come to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire and power. And then quietly or gently, whatever kind of personality you have, you just let it flow out. And thank the Lord for good opportunities and good moments. I don't know how, except that you can come and let us know. In a few weeks, just let us know. Say, how's your ministry going? How's your ministry going? It's going great. Yeah, good. Are you encouraged? Yeah. If not, let's pray for you so that there will be this flame burning on fire so that you are just you're the right person. You're the right person. You know why? Because you're built right and your personality is right for it and your life is right for it and lastly, you're bored to tears. That's how you have to really realize it. To say, because I found when I said, God, I'm bored to tears. There's got to be more than this and this and this. There must be more. I want the more. I want the extra. I want to go the other mile. And your purpose, just light me, ignite me, so that at this moment of my life, in your moment today, that somehow you're a candidate for God's purposes. And when you say, what do? Well, you are going to feel dry again. You are going to feel, oh boy, what's all this about? But that's a warning sign. That's the warning sign. And you say, Lord, I seem to always need a touch. Yes, it'll never be any other way. It can't be any other way. There's forces in the world that would like to put our flame out. And our job, keep the fire going. Because that's what makes the difference. The Spirit of God working through you, working through you, working through me. And all of us together doing this stuff and knowing that it's not about church, it's not about religion, it's about Jesus who says, there's a second touch coming. Let it, you know, avail yourself, align yourself. And then later you'll be able to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's beautiful in every way. And I don't know about you, but I think, can you think on a Thanksgiving day that you would, for you to say, I'm your Huckleberry, right? I'm available. If you could use me, God. And then ask him to stir you deeply. Take some time with this. Don't just quickly toss it around, but find a spot where you can walk up and down, or you can kneel somewhere, and you can just talk to God and say, here's my life. Don't let this thing go out. And it'll happen, and then a little later, you'll be a bit dry again, a bit feeling more religious than anything. And then you say again, God, light my fire. And we light the second touch, so we get the second, third. How many touches in a lifetime? I don't know. All I know that I seem to always need something to keep me from being bored. See, I'm easily excited, easily bored. That's not good. God must, but that's, it's okay, because if I come to the Lord, if you come to the Lord and simply say, this doesn't seem very, it seems kind of like a routine we're going through. Oh, man, I hate that. Don't you hate that? That it seems like you're going through routine. And it doesn't have to be that way. But I'm responsible for alignment, that I get in line, say, Lord, I don't know how this all works, but you've got to, you know, touch me. You must touch me. Because that's what, where it all is, that's where it happens. This beautiful touch. Second touch. It's beautiful, isn't it? And to think that we're all candidates for this. There's not one person say we got, most of us, no. Because you're in the world will put pressure on you. And so he had this great moment to present ourselves. Living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And, I think I've done enough talking, so. It'd be really nice. It doesn't matter if a lot of people come or don't come. All I know, the Lord spoke to me one time, and so I felt it was him. And what I felt him saying was, every time they give an altar call, go and stand in my presence. Go and stand in my presence. Whenever there is. If there isn't one, don't worry about it. But if there's one, just stand there and avail yourself to him. And as a result of that, I have experienced, and still experience, a lifetime of touches from God, because I lined up for it. I said, Lord, I just give myself to you. If you'd like to touch me, it'd be great. And then another time, there'd be, you know, 2 months later, there's another 10 years. And those words come again and say, align yourself. You don't have to do anything else, and you'll keep this thing going all the time. But just as the opportunity comes. And so this might be an opportunity for someone. Come and stand here. Just come and do it. We're not going to do anything to you or for you. We're not going to follow you home. Strange people following you. You must be from Valley Church, right? So I'm going to pray, and then we'll just be... We've got a few minutes here, so. Lord, we're grateful for the first touch. We need another one. Lord, your presence is so delicious. There's none like you. We've been captivated. We've been captivated by your presence. Lord, you know our hearts. This must be continual renewal. And what was good enough some time ago is now old. Now, if we aren't careful, Lord, we're aware that that leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, will consume us. We know the world will consume us. As we are here, will you fire us up? Will you cause tears to come to our eyes? And we know there's more to it than that, but that's a sign. We thank you for the call in our lives, Lord, everybody here. So whatever you want to do, Heavenly Father, we are available. There, we've said it. We are available. Say yes, Jesus. Say yes. I say yes to your will. I say yes, yes, yes. If you want to come, just stand or kneel. We'll just spend a few minutes. We won't delay. You've got things to go to. But it's just a moment that the Lord sees. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Lord, thank you. This is not about salvation. That was settled long ago. But it has to do with availability. Fruitfulness. Come, touch of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Yes. Beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah. Lord, we come against boredom. We come against dryness. We just come against anything that would rob us of this sweetness of the power of God, the presence of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, in a world that's falling apart, craziness of our world, we need all 8 cylinders. We really do. Oh, God. What kind of wisdom must we need to face a world that's going the directions it's going in? So here we are. Thank you. Yes. Praise God. Praise. Just tell him you love him, that you're available to him. That you welcome that second touch. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe one or two people would just like to lead out. We can express what we're trying to express here.